Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 400, stanzas 1 through 5. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. 1 through 5 of Psalter 400.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the second book of Samuel and thereof chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we attempt to draw nigh unto thee in the beginning of this work week, in a day that is set aside yet by our government, that we may acknowledge thee for all thy great goodness bestowed upon us once again in the season that lies behind us. For we have gathered together also as a congregation in the beginning of this season to beseech of thee that thou may bless us and that thou may provide the sunshine and the rain and that thou may give our crops to grow, our cattle also to multiply, and that thou mayest bless the labors of our hands in the midst of all of this world. And then in this day it behooves us that we may approach unto thee once again to acknowledge thy great goodness that has been poured out once more upon us and upon our children. For once again, nothing is lacking unto us. When thou dost provide food and drink and clothing and shelter in great abundance, and it all comes out of thy hand, for we are those who are not able to provide for ourselves. O Lord, that thou mayest give unto us in this day a place of true humility before thee. And then in a special way, when we may see a little bit of our great unworthiness, because we cannot say that we are a people that have served and sought thee. For our soul that has also in the season that lies behind us, so cleaved unto the dust, so that our thoughts, they have been here upon this earth, and so little upon thee, our benefactor, so much form and so much custom, the love of the world living within our hearts, our choice also, a free choice of our own, that is so often going out after all that is vain, carnal, passing away. The idolatry of this world that is living within our hearts. And thou, as our great benefactor, thou hast shown thy great long-suffering mercies over us. That thou, even despite all our wretchedness and all of our wickedness, all of our wanderings away from thee, and yet thou didst each and every day give unto us our food, our clothing, and our shelter, and blessings multiplied so greatly, so that we are not able to enumerate each of them before thee, so much that we ourselves do not even realize. As thou didst uphold this entire universe, and as thou didst grant that the kingdoms of this world may not slay one another, and that we may have peace in our country. O Lord, that thou may give to us a little sight of thy great goodness this day, this Thanksgiving day, that our hearts may be humbled before thee, and that thou may look upon us also as a nation, that thou may give to us as a people also a sight of thy goodness this day, that we also may be given a low place before thee. And wilt thou look upon us also in the future, for thy goodness that ought, as we read in thy word, thy goodness ought to bring us to a true repentance. O Lord, that it may break our hearts that thou hast gone after us, and that thou hast called us time and time again, blessing us with blessings out of thy heavenly store, withholding all of thy judgments. And then it is not that thy word is not true, that thou wilt bring an end unto this world. But the long sufferings of the Lord, they are so very great. And thou dost wait that thou mayest bring in thy own people. Oh, that thy goodness may break our hearts this day, and that our souls may go out with blessed thoughts of thee. Oh, that our souls may be born again, and that we may receive that new heart, that new love, that new mind, that renewed will, and that it may go out after thee from henceforth, Oh, that our life may be changed, that we may not live as we have heretofore, but that thy goodness may so melt our hearts this day, that it may be a calling unto us more powerful than all that this world can offer unto us, so that we would go after thee with holy longings and desires in our hearts, with a desire to serve thee with all of our soul, with all of our understanding, with all of our heart, and with all of our strength. O Lord, that thou thyself may remember both young and old in this way, remember those that have not the gifts that we have in the midst of this world, those that are hungry and thirsty and naked and destitute in this world, so much misery because of our sin. O that thou may also open unto them the windows of heaven, and provided all of their needs, that thou may give also that that blessing of thy holy word, that we may receive from day to day and from Sabbath to Sabbath, and may be sanctified and blessed among us. Oh, that there also may have been a little fruit upon thy word in that season that has gone by, when that word has been sowed upon the field of thy church. Oh, could it please thee to so bless that word that it may bring forth fruit some 30, some 60, some 100-fold amongst young and old. And thou hast given also that our school may continue to this moment, even amidst all the threats. O Lord, could it please thee to humble us in this regard also, and that thou may remember us in the future, for we are not able to provide for ourselves. O that thou may thyself remember us as nations and turn us again, that thy goodness may break the hearts of our rulers also, and all thy provision for all of their subjects, because they are not able to provide for us. Oh, that it may be the feeling, sense, and realization also of those who sit above us, that they may bow their knees continually, and that they may receive also that help from thee, that wisdom from thee, to guide us according to thy holy word of truth. Wilt thou give thy word that has been sown also amidst the whole denomination and the whole world and the mission fields, that thou wouldst give, that men may be called further to proclaim that law and gospel, and that thou wouldst bring in a people who may acknowledge thee to all eternity. For thou dost make alive by thy Spirit, thou dost give food and drink in the manna in the midst of the wilderness of this world. Wilt thou give it unto us and unto our children? For eternity shall not be long enough to bless thy name. For all thy provisions, especially for those who have fallen away from thee and our covenant head Adam. Oh, that that second Adam may become precious unto us, that he may become our all and in all, who has never transgressed, but who has fulfilled all things, and who hast earned the blessings out of for his church, thy common goodness providing for the wicked, and thy saving goodness providing for thy church. Oh, that it may for us and for our children come not out of thy left hand to be to our eternal condemnation, but that it may be gifts out of thy right hand, that may be for our eternal welfare and to the glory and honor of thy most holy name. Lord, wilt thou look upon all the afflicted and the sick this day? Those that are not able to gather with us in thy house, wilt thou remember them in the places where they are? And those that may listen by church telephone, all those that are sorrowing over the losses of their loved ones, for many afflictions also are endured. Oh, that thou may give also a heart that may agree with thee, and that may even thank thee, that thou hast had dealings, and that thou hast not left us to go our own way. Wilt thou help us in this hour? Wilt thou give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the liberty, give us the matter in the heart, the words upon our lips, and oh, could it please thee to glorify thy great and holy name in the midst of us in this hour, by thy holy word, forgiving and taking away all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 286, stanzas 1 through 6. He waters the hills with rain from the skies, and plentiful grass and herbs he supplies, supplying the cattle and blessing man's toil, with bread in abundance, with wine and with oil. Psalter 286, stanzas 1 through 6. beloved congregation, we may, by the blessing of the Lord, come in this day to Thanksgiving Day in gratitude. That is one of the most disgraceful attitudes of men in this world, and that is detested by both man and God alike. Paul writes in Romans 1 that the wrath of God that is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men, because while they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. We can read in Psalm 106 of the children of Israel that they forgot God their Savior, even after He had done for them wondrous works in Egypt. That is the base ingratitude. Can a maid, we read, forget her ornaments? Can a bride forget her attire? And yet the Lord, He says, my people, they have forgotten me days without number. That is the complaint of the all-sufficient provider of His own people. He says that they do not give unto me a returning love. It is a wonder that Thanksgiving Day may be still a statutory holiday in most of the provinces of Canada. In the eastern provinces, it is already an optional holiday. That Satan, he knows, because David, he writes that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Which Satan also knows, and slowly, or rather quickly, Satan does attempt to make us into an atheistic nation. But the long suffering of the Lord, that does not last forever. The Lord, He will not give gifts unto those who turn away from Him forever. The Lord, He is long-suffering for this cause especially, that He may gather in His own church. It is best for us that we are turning in within ourselves on this Thanksgiving Day to find whether there may be in our own hearts something that goes out after the Lord. And then we often say within ourselves, if I could only feel it more, because we have that sense that the goodness of the Lord that is far greater than we realize. We wish with the Lord's help to receive a little instruction in this regard from the gratitude of Mephibosheth, which we have heard about as it was read to you from 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we wish to consider the 8th verse. 2 Samuel chapter 9, the 8th verse. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? So far the words of our text. And that is the gratitude of Mephibosheth. And we wish to see that in two thoughts. First, the cause of this gratitude. And secondly, the expression of this gratitude. The gratitude of Mephibosheth, first in its cause, and second in its expression. And he bowed himself. Young people, maybe you say, is that now a word for Thanksgiving Day? And he bowed himself. Is this not a day where that we should perhaps consider a text out of God's Word that speaks about rejoicing? A text that speaks about singing. Not a man who is bowing himself. We live in a very superficial time. A time wherein man, he looks more to the things which are outward, and then he is concerned with those things which are inward. We do not deny that it is a day in which we ought to sing. We do not deny that it is a day in which we ought to rejoice. That is fitting also for the occasion, for the gratitude that lives in the heart of a man. But we find here something that is lying in the heart of Mephibosheth, and we can ask what is lying now in our own heart. Mephibosheth's bowing himself, that is so very suitable, that is so very fitting as an expression of that which is living in his heart. It was so natural for him. I think if you would think, children, in this moment of Mephibosheth, that he would stand and that he would rejoice and that he would begin to sing, then you would say, well, that sounds just like the day that we live in. A very superficial rejoicing, but there is something that is living here so very deep in that heart of Mephibosheth. He did not have to consider what he did. That was so natural to him because of his circumstances, and he bowed himself. Thus, to bow ourselves, that is a symbol of our servitude. That is what he has also expressed here. He says, "What is thy servant?" So bowing, that is an expression that we are setting ourselves in subjection. Then there is a great reverence, a great respect that is living in the heart of Mephibosheth. And he makes an expression here which says, "I am ready to serve thee." Is that also the thought? Is that also what is living, what is lying within our own heart in this day? When we come to express our gratitude unto the Lord, that we are placing ourselves in subjection, that we may see something of our attitude in our life, that we say it ought to be so different because I am a server of this world. I am a server of the things of time and sense. And when that goodness of the Lord is bestowed on us, and when we may consider it in this day, is there anything that is in our hearts that says, "O Lord, then I wish from this moment onward, I wish from this day onward that my heart that would be so different, and that my heart would bow to thee, and that everything in my life that may be for thy service and for the honor of thy name." And he bowed himself. Before whom? You say he bowed himself before David. And why David? Well, David, he is the king. Thus the king, he is the benefactor. What is a benefactor, children? Benefactor is one who gives the gifts. A beneficiary is one who receives the gifts. So David, he is the benefactor, he is the king. And that is, it is part of the task of David as the king, not only to protect the people from all of the enemies, but to see that those people, they are provided for each and every day. Thus you say that is a very natural thing, that a man, he should bow himself before his benefactor, and that Mephibosheth, he should bow himself before David. And that is certainly true. But there is much more here. Why? Because this, what is happening here, that is not just a universal blessing, but this is a blessing that Mephibosheth experiences to be so very, very personal. How is that also with us? Because the blessings of the Lord, they are going about all the creatures of this world. But do we also experience those blessings to be blessings which are so very personal, that they are blessings that are from the Lord? They have been given not only to others, but they have also been given unto me. And is that ever the wonder that may fill our heart with gratitude unto him? We know the history, of course. David, he is sitting on his throne. The Lord, he has blessed him on every side. He has put his enemies away. He has given to David much prosperity, so that he may sit here on the throne of his kingdom. And we know, boys and girls, that was a man who loved the Lord from his youth. He had a harp. We can read, and that man, that boy, already when he was young, then he may sing to the honor of the Lord from his heart. May you do that too sometimes, boys and girls, when you are singing, that it may be a little bit in your heart to sing, not just to sing in a formal way. And but those words that you sing, did they ever touch your heart? And does your heart ever go out after him? Because that was already when David was so very young. And you must ask the Lord if he may give you that heart when you are so very, very young. David, when he was old, then he had that same heart, because we read that ark of the Lord that meant so much to him. And he had a desire when that ark was away from him, that that ark would be brought unto him there, in near unto him. And he makes a tent for it, and he brings that ark home. And we can read that history, and how that he is rejoicing, and he is dancing before that before the Lord with that ark, just with those common people. His own wife, Michal, she despises him in her heart. She would never have done such a thing, because she was a daughter of her father who stood so high, and she had no love for the Lord. But David didn't care. No, he says, I will be more vile than thus. And of those maidservants of whom thou hast spoken, he says, I shall be had in honor. Oh, then it doesn't matter what the world thinks, when that love of the Lord that is living in our heart. David, he had also a desire to make a house for the Lord. We know that. And the Lord, he said, he may not do that, that he was a man of war, that his son would do that, and that the Lord himself would make David a house. Oh, then he speaks to him how that his own son would come forth of his loins, and that he would be for the salvation of his church, that would be for the building of the house of the Lord, not only for the time, but for that great eternity. David, he is humbled by it. He goes into the house of the Lord, and now we find him sitting on his throne. And David is on his throne, and he is contemplating. He looks all about him, and then his thoughts, they are going back and he considers the goodness of the Lord. It goes over his whole life. Do we do that too this day? Because we are called to do that in this day. And that our thoughts, they may go back over our whole life. And that we may see something and call to mind the dealings of the Lord with us and the goodness of the Lord. And when David, he is going back in his thoughts, and then a certain person comes in his mind. And that person is a friend of long ago. Do you know his name, children? A good friend of David. You have a good friend too? He had a good friend. His name was Jonathan. And now David, he has such fond remembrances of Jonathan, his friend. He is gone now. It is a wonder if we may have such a fond remembrance of another person after that they are gone from this life. Oh, how careful we ought to be in our relationships in this world. How are they? Because we can die, as we have heard it yesterday, we can die any moment. And then what? Oh, there is a little poem. Many go forth in the morning who never come home at night. And hearts have broken for harsh words spoken that sorrow can never set right. Oh, then we can weep and weep over words that we have spoken, wives, husbands, to each other. Something we said to our children, something we said to our parents, we can weep and weep with sorrow. But all those tears, they can never set it right again. Those things, they need congregation to be set right before we die. When there are things that are between us as persons in this world, then those things before the day of our death, they need to be made right, else they could be the cause of our sorrow, even unto the day of our grave. And now David, he has such fond thoughts of this Jonathan. But while then he thinks about Jonathan, then he remembers something else. What does he remember about Jonathan? Well, he remembers that he has made a covenant with Jonathan. And while they were still in this life, Jonathan, he was in such agreement with the Lord that the Lord would give unto David that throne that we would say that belonged unto Jonathan. And Jonathan, he could, by the grace of the Lord, leave that so in the Lord's hands. But because of the practice of persons and kings in this world in those days, Jonathan has required an oath of David. And that oath, then David, he has sworn. Jonathan says that thou wilt not only show me kindness while I am yet in this life, the kindness of the Lord, he says, but thou also shalt not take away thy kindness from my house forever. Oh, that Jonathan says, David, in that day that I have been taken away, that when you are king, that you will take care of my children, that you will not put my children to death, and that you will provide for them. And David, he has sworn this oath unto the best of his friends, and he has now been sitting on his throne, and his thoughts, they are going back. And he thinks about his beloved friend Jonathan, and suddenly in his mind is coming again that oath that he has sworn. Do our oaths that we have sworn ever come back in our minds? Because we have also sworn oaths. When we have made confession of faith, when we have married, when we have baptized our children, then we have sworn oaths, oaths to one another, and oaths before the Lord. Do those oaths ever come back to us in the meditation of our hearts? Because so it is happening here also with David. So that we read, David begins to speak. He says, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" That's James. He says that the doer of the word shall be blessed before the Lord. And now David, he speaks, he will do as he has said. And Ziba said unto him, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." How is that, children, that he is lame on his feet? We can read that. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. That is something, right, children? Some of you, they have broken bones. Child at home yet, broken leg, in a cast. Here was a little boy, did not have what we have today. And so that little boy, he has fallen. And he was now lame on both his feet. And now he is no little boy anymore. He is now a man. But he is still lame on his feet, children. So all his life, because he was so very young, all his life, and then he could not run and he could not play like other boys and girls did. Oh, then he had an affliction in his life. Do you also have an affliction in your life, maybe? And that when the Lord, he is blessing an affliction in our life, then it can be for the good of our heart. And here we read now of a man, he is lame on both his feet. "Where is he?" says David. "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Thus, the life of Mephibosheth that is about to change very, very greatly. And now we have a question for you. What is the cause? What is the cause that the life of Mephibosheth is now going to change very, very greatly? The cause. Where is the motivation for this? Where is the energy for this? Where does it come from? Does that come from Mephibosheth? You say it does not come from Mephibosheth. Oh, that has nothing to do with Mephibosheth himself. What is the cause? The cause, you say, that is in the king. That is right. That is solely in the king. And why does the king act like he does? Well, because that king has something to fulfill. Has that to do with Mephibosheth directly himself? No. What is the cause? Well, the cause that is lying in the love that king had to Jonathan. The cause that is lying in a covenant. The covenant that the king has long ago sworn unto Jonathan. Thus it is not because of Mephibosheth. No, it is because of David. It is because of the love for Jonathan. It is because of the covenant that he has sworn unto Jonathan. There comes a time that the life of the elect will change greatly, very greatly. A specific day that it will change greatly. What is the cause? Is it in that people? It is not. It is in the Lord. The cause lies in God. The cause lies in a covenant which he has sworn so long ago. A covenant that he will fulfill. A covenant that he has sworn because of a love to his only begotten Son in the first place. That love was to Mephibosheth. Yes. Why? Because he is the son of Jonathan. And that is the only reason. That's why the love of God to his people. It is because of the fact that they are the children which are given unto Christ. That is all coming out of that one-sided work. It is a sovereign good pleasure of the King that is based on the love to his Son, the covenant which he has sworn unto him and which that Son himself has fulfilled. And so the call that comes unto Mephibosheth in Lodabar, he is called to come unto the King. He is terrified. You say he is terrified? How do you know he is terrified? We know that in two ways. We know that from his demeanor. We read here, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, thy servant. Thus his demeanor. He is terrified. He comes before the king and he falls on his face before the king in fear. How do we know that? David sees it. We hear it in the very first words of David to Mephibosheth. What does he say to him? He says, Fear not. What is Mephibosheth afraid of, children? He's afraid to die. You afraid to die? He's afraid to die. Say, why is he afraid to die? He has come before David. Is he going to die? Well, that is his fear. Is that a right fear? Well, you know that the kings in those days often did that. The kings of the heathen nations. And then there was a new king that would arise. And then he would slay all the family. And from the old king, why? Because he saw them as a threat to him. They might try to gain that throne again. And so he put them all to death. And so he fears. But there is another reason he fears. Thus there is a double reason that he fears. And that was because of his own grandfather. Who was his grandfather? That was Saul. And what did Saul do? Well, Saul was indeed one of those kings. When he saw a man who he thought was a threat to him, then he would put him to death. And so David himself was seen by him as a threat, and he has chased him as a partridge in the mountains, and he has desired to slay David. And now Mephibosheth, he is called to come before David, and then there is a double reason that is in his heart that he is afraid that he now has to die. But you say, boys and girls, David's heart that was not did not have anything like that in it. David, he wanted to show him kindness. That is so. But Mephibosheth does not know this. He does not know the intent of the king. Will you remember this, boys and girls? Mephibosheth does not know the intent of the king. Maybe that messenger could have even said a little something. We do not know. But one thing is so, Mephibosheth is afraid. What does an elect sinner know? When he is called by the Lord out of nature's darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord, what does he know of the love of the Lord? What does he know of the intent of the Lord for the salvation, for the good, for the benefit of his people? He doesn't know anything of it. You say he feels something of that love because the Lord, he draws him with the cords of a man, with the bands of love. That is true. And yet that man, he is not able to stand before the Lord because he is his judge. Just read the Pilgrim's Progress. He is afraid to die, and he dare not stand in the judgment. What grounds does he have to believe that the Lord would be propitious unto him, merciful unto him in a personal way? Thus there is fear. And David said unto him, "Fear not." Who can imagine in that moment what was in the heart of Mephibosheth? It was exactly the opposite of all his expectations. Just in that moment that he expected that sentence would come forth from the king to his condemnation, he hears, "Fear not," out of the mouth of David. It is an unfathomable wonder in the life of this man. And to what is it connected? To what is it connected? Let us read it. "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake." Thus, the fear nots, when the Lord is saying to his children, "Fear not," at the same time, the Lord is revealing something of the cause. The cause why they do not need to fear. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with the sake of him with whom that he has sworn a covenant long ago. Or something, the measure that can vary greatly, but the effect that is always the same. When the Lord is showing just the smallest bit of his only begotten Son, then it is felt in the heart of that people, "Fear not." And then something of the riches, or we do not have time to go into all of this, but that is so full, you can hear it. Something of those riches, and they are expressed, and they are experienced in the life of that church. As David says unto Mephibosheth, he says, "And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh, there is so much in it for that church of God. Let us sing. Psalter 376. 376, 1, 2, 4, and 6. Praise Jehovah for His love, God of gods enthroned above. Praise the mighty King of kings, who alone doth wondrous things, for His mercy doth endure, ever faithful, ever sure. 376, 1, 2, 4, and 6. and he bowed himself. Can we understand this now? Why did this man, he bowed himself? Because that is a man who cannot prostrate himself sufficiently. He cannot lower himself sufficiently before David. It is an expression of his gratitude along with the words which he spoke. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? A dead dog. That is what he felt himself to be. What is that? A dead dog. We have to remember that a dog was not in those days as they are in our days, but in we have dogs which are so very beautiful and worth so much money and so on. No, but a dog that was a very despicable animal. And they ran about the streets. They were as pests. We would more say like a rat. And so when a person would compare himself to a dead dog, that was an expression whereby he lowered himself in great humiliation. David did the same. When Saul came after him and he says, after whom does the king of Israel flee? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Mephibosheth says, it is a wonder to me, King David, that you even look at me, much less to favor me. Congregation, it is Thanksgiving Day. You feel something in the heart of Mephibosheth. You say, if I could only feel this today. If I could only feel as Mephibosheth felt in this day. And that is so true, because the goodness of the Lord that is so far above that which we can actually understand and even imagine in our minds. But what are now those things that are contributing to that true gratitude? Gratitude that is one of, that is an affection, that is one of the social affections. It goes out unto others outside of ourself. Gratitude that is answering love, and it is awakened by the gifts that we receive from our benefactors. Thus, such a love of our benefactor is magnified by the misery and by the poverty and by the helplessness of the beneficiary. It is magnified because he is a person that is not able to help himself. What do we read about Mephibosheth? That he was lame on both his feet. And that lameness of Mephibosheth magnified the goodness of David, the benefits that he bestowed upon him. Thus, true gratitude on Thanksgiving Day is also magnified by a sense of our helplessness. It is magnified by a sense of feeling realization of our dependence, that we are not able to provide for ourselves. With respect to all our provision, we are nothing less than lame on both our feet, whether we realize it or not. Because we are not able to command any blessing from the Lord. And one of the reasons that our heart that is so cold toward our benefactor is that we have so little, we are so little affected with our dependence upon Him. Thus, we exaggerate the means, we exaggerate our own wisdom in our doings in this world, we exaggerate our own work, and we minimize the necessary miracle that has to come from the side of the Lord. And therefore, attributing so much unto ourselves, and therefore the Lord, He loses that returning love. It is no different for the soul of the church. The Lord, He is affecting that people first with what? With their utter dependence, with their utter inability. And why is that? Because His aim in the salvation of the church and in the granting of the benefits is His own honor. Thus, it is in the first place the wretchedness and the poverty and the helplessness of that people that needs to be experienced in their life in order that the Lord may receive His proper glory. But there is a second thing. Mephibosheth is not only lame on both his feet. Mephibosheth is also of the posterity of Saul. Thus, it is not only misery, it is not only poverty, it is not only helplessness, but it is also a feeling sense of our guilt. A feeling sense of our guilt that is magnifying the goodness of the Lord. Because we are dependent upon the Lord. We are dependent on the Lord because of our misery. But because we are guilty, we are not only dependent, but we are also unworthy. We are unworthy. That is what Mephibosheth felt in that moment, not only not able to provide for himself, but he says, I am a man that deserves to die because of whose son that I am. And there is nothing that awakens that answering love unto our benefactors more than a feeling sense of our unworthiness towards that benefactor. And especially because it was not that Mephibosheth had sinned against someone else, no, but Saul, he had come against David himself. And David was now the benefactor. Thus, it is that feeling, realization of our dependence upon the Lord and also our guilt, our offense of the Lord himself, that his gifts, they become such a gracious gift unto us. And that is now above all what is making a man to say, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Mephibosheth, he is also actually struck with wonder. And that is actually in addition to gratitude. What is wonder? Wonder is caused by the suddenness, by the greatness of a blessing that is unexpected. So wonder is arising when we are confronted with something that is new, something that is unknown, and that is making our mind to contemplate that new thing that has suddenly come into our mind, and then we cannot fathom the greatness of that thing, the beauty of that thing, and the mind that revels in the pleasantness of those thoughts, that is, to wonder about it. And that is now the wonder that the church also shall especially be affected with in that moment when they are taken out of the misery of this life. And when they are in that moment, when they are in that moment, oftentimes in so much fear. And then in that moment, to be brought unto the table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Or in one moment, then that church that is going to be struck with wonder. We cannot attempt to describe what that will be, because the Bible that says, eye had not seen it, ear had not heard it, and it has not entered even into our hearts to conceive it, what the Lord has laid away for them who love Him. And then they shall be struck with wonder. And still there are moments. There are moments that the church is in this life struck with wonder at that bliss. When are those moments? They are the moments that the Lord, that people, they are overwhelmed with that sense, that feeling sense of their wretchedness, of their misery, a feeling sense of their guilt. In those moments when the Lord, He is coming over, in those moments when the Lord is showing something of Himself, a little bit, even as we read in God's Word, that He showed Himself through the lattice. In that moment, when they see nothing in their life but a deserving of condemnation, and then to see something, the smallest part of the friendly countenance of the Lord, and the smallest part revealed of the riches that have been secured by that covenant of His only begotten Son. Oh, then not only their bread and water is made sure in this life, but they may hear something of the words of that King, and that say unto them, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. For Christ's sake, a condemned people, lame on both their feet. Those are the moments. Those are the moments that the church that is bowing with Mephibosheth in true gratitude for gifts both temporal and eternal, tasting something already of that eternal Thanksgiving day, and bowing and saying, O Lord, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do teach us from above. O give unto us that place of a Mephibosheth of old. The benefits, they are bestowed upon him. There was no reason in him. It didn't begin with him. It was all from thee, O Lord. Oh, look on us and our children. For the sake of thy only begotten Son, O thou King of kings, thou sittest this day upon thy throne. Oh, could it please thee to contemplate a little, that thou may remember for a moment and what thou hast promised unto thy only begotten Son, and that thou wouldst give unto him a seed. O Lord, could it please thee yet to call out even in this day, are there any yet of the house of Adam, that I may show him kindness for Jesus' sake? O Lord, do it for thy great name's sake, to look upon us and upon our children. humble us under thy gifts. Thou hast brought us through. Thou hast given strength sufficient. Bless thy word. Receive our humble thanks. Strengthen thy servant for his afternoon hour. Bless us in thy house. Give us an answering love to all thy benefits. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 250, 1, 2, 4, and 5. How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to thee, most high accord, to show thy love with morning light and tell thy faithfulness each night. Yea, good it is thy praise to sing and all our sweetest music bring. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 215. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.